My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I don't know what to do. It's like I've never done a radio show before. I don't know where I want to start.
Oh?
We have so much stuff. We have a book. For a rundown today.
It is.
And there's so much to get into, but I guess we can start with the Sacramento Kings' dominant victory over the Philadelphia 76ers once again. Sacramento beating the heck out of a worse team. That worst team was on the second night of a back-to-back, and Domantas Sabonis got his double-double, 54 in a row. Hats off, congrats, all that jazz. And now we get maybe the two biggest regular season games in Golden One history tonight and Friday. So we'll discuss all that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I got to bitch about NBA officiating. We've got new NFL rules. Sports betting is already getting out of hand.
Who saw that coming?
Literally nobody could have seen this coming.
Did not see that coming at all. Not at all. I don't, you know.
I would like to say something about Domantas Sabonis' double-double streak.
Okay, I'm here for it.
And I mean this as a compliment to Domas. The streak is not what makes his production and value great. It's just kind of there. If he had not re-entered that game against Denver and finished with 18-9 or whatever he had, and his streak ended then, that does not make this season less special or less valuable in some way. So that was kind of the thing last night. As I'm watching this, it's like, man, that's pretty cool. Like zero players since the NBA-ABA merger have had as many double-doubles in a row as Domas. That's pretty incredible. But then I thought, it's like, man, that's not the incredible part of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a figurehead for it. It's a stat that symbolizes what this season has been, but I also don't want to make it out like, oh, well, if he had only gotten to 52, then, yeah. You know, does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense.
The Denver game would have been, what, 47 in a row? That would have been snapped at 48 in a row, whatever it would have been. Like, that's remarkable. And then he would have picked it up and started a new streak, and he still would have been just as dominant.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I don't mean to be a wet blanket.
No, but what it does, the streak just represents,
sure,
number one, the egregious omission at the All-Star,
sure,
at All-Star weekend,
sure,
which once again just shines the light on somebody's ineptitude. Whoever,
yep,
it was, they should have just told somebody, hey, you don't get to go this year. Domantas Sabonis has to be there.
Right.
Like, we should have talked to Adam Silver last night, who was in the building, and said, hey, man, you blew this. You should have figured out a way to get one of the most dominating players in the league there. I think what it does, though, Kyle, is it speaks to showing up to work every day and doing the right things,
mm-hmm,
and being a foundational piece, unlike anything I don't think the Kings have ever had, a foundational player that shows up and has statistical greatness every single night.
Mm-hmm.
And Like, it's one thing to go for 31 night and 21 night and 25 one night and 18 one night. It's a whole other thing to show up every single day and grab 10 rebounds. Yeah. And every single day and score double-figure points. And 25 games out of the 60, whatever we're at, the 70, 71,
mm-hmm.
25 of them, you have a triple-double. Like, yeah. What he's doing is just absolutely crazy. And what it does is it raises the bar on what the floor of the Kings are.
Yeah.
Right? The Kings, without Domantas Sabonis, their floor is number 15 in the West.
I mean, it might not be that bad. I wouldn't go that far. But yeah, they're probably not a play-in team.
No, but their floor is, like, we have no idea what their floor is.
Sure.
Their ceiling is, we have no idea either. But what he does is he raises the floor to a certain level
mm-hmm.
where you are at least a 6, 7, 8 seed.
Sure.
And that's at a minimum. And chances mm-hmm. are you're better than that. And not every player can do that.
Mm-mm.
I mean, we're watching the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James and Anthony Davis that don't have that floor.
Mm-mm.
And so, you know, you talk about the Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry. They don't have the same floor.
Mm-mm.
So what he's been able to do to me is just absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, he's been really good. 11 points on 5 shots. That's wild to me.
That he only took 11 points, scored 11 points.
But no, that he just only, like, just 5 shots. Just going to go get 13 boards, dish out 10 assists. Like, we'll make an impact.
I know somebody last night, one of the camera guys said, hey, did he get the points or rebounds or assists first? And it's like, well, he got the double-double. He had 9 points and 9 rebounds. He got the double-double by grabbing a rebound and putting it back in the same motion for his 10th rebound and his 10th and 11th points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another takeaway from last night, this version of the Sixers is not very good.
Mm-mm.
Although I thought Tyrese Maxey was going for 70.
I thought he was
going for... That first quarter was insane, dude.
Or at least 232. Oh,
as he's going off in that first quarter. By the way, Tyrese Maxey in the first quarter, 7 of 11. The rest of the Sixers, 2 of 12. And I'm like, oh no. They're going to lose this game because they had nobody who could slow down Tyrese Maxey.
I thought...
And then they did. He only had 8 points the rest of the way. Really well done.
I thought what Mike Brown did there was brilliant, too. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, Maxey's tearing us up. Let's start with Keon. Oh, okay, that's not working. He's too strong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's shift to De'Aaron. Oh, that's not working. Let's shift to Keegan. That doesn't seem to be stopping him either.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give Chris Duarte a try. No, that's not helping. Let's try Davion. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something new that the Kings might not have had
mm-hmm.
even like a month ago, 2 months ago, where all of a sudden you can, like, you go up against the Dallas Mavericks tonight. You can mm-hmm. throw all kinds of looks. You can go with Keegan Murray against Luka. You can go with Keon Ellis. You can mm-hmm. give De'Aaron a shot. Like, that is a good problem to have for Mike Brown all of a sudden, because it wasn't there before.
No, and if Davion Mitchell is going to hit threes at a rate that allows him to play 25 minutes, I don't want to sit here and figure out, oh, hey, this should be the rotation, that should be the rotation, because I think come playoff time, you're going to see it be pretty matchup-based.
Mm-hmm.
But that Davion is not just a player sitting at the end of the bench who can't credibly play offense, that's a pretty big deal. And just gives Mike Brown another arrow in his quiver when it comes to postseason rotation.
Yeah, I mean, especially...
Davion was good last night, man.
Especially if you're going to have a guy like Chris Duarte who, you know, has been solid like throughout the last couple of weeks, but the last two games hasn't been able to hit like... A boat,
hey, that,
water fell out of a boat.
That stretch where he missed the three from the corner, Kings get the offensive rebound, De'Aaron kicks it back out to him, wide open in the corner again, Brickton is like, all right, hey, get him out.
No.
We're done for tonight.
Yeah, I mean,
that was tough.
Philip Seymour Hoffman out there making it rain.
I want to whine about something real quick.
Uh-oh.
The leading with the knee rule is the dumbest thing I've seen basketball do. I get that, like, so it was Kenyon Martin Jr., KJ Martin,
yep.
last night, got called for it. And it was a foul by the definition of the rule. It was the right mm-hmm. call. So, or I guess it was the wrong call and they reviewed it and then it was the right call. So I don't understand what the player is supposed to do. Because when you jump, like, that's what you're taught when you do.
Yeah, if you're doing a one leg jump, you're right.
Yeah, I just don't. I'm not. I it's one of those rules that I genuinely, it's like in the NFL when a defender is doing anything he can to get to the quarterback and, oh, he hit him down kind of in the lower thigh. It's like, oh, foul. Mm. Like, man, he's gotten shoved around and pushed down. He's diving. He's just trying to get to the guy. What's he supposed to do?
He's battling another 300-pound man, right? And sometimes two.
Right. And that's how I feel about this rule. Yeah. It's not just because of last night. It's happened. The Kings have had it happen to them multiple times. It's just, I think it is the weirdest rule that basketball has.
Because we knew that it was going to be a call last night because the Keegan Murray call last year.
Yes.
I think it was last year. Yeah, well, of course it was last year because he didn't play the year before that.
Mm-hmm.
Against Steven Adams, which was one of the great moments in Steven Adams' career where he's laying on the ground and he's making sure that his privates are okay, and then he starts counting one, two, and then he keeps going, three, four. Okay, they're all there. but it was the same exact call.
Right, and it's silly. I don't understand it.
But I almost felt like Domas is like, oh no, I'm stepping in because I see him doing it.
Right.
Like, Domas got up, like, let's review that. I mean, that's clear.
Yeah. I would love to know what the league is trying to legislate there.
Well, I mean, low blows, but also.
Sure, but for what? It's not like players extending his foot or anything.
I'm with you.
It's not like players jump up and go like, oh, I'm going to knee this guy in the chest as I go up. Now, if KJ Martin had gone up there and he's not even looking at the basket and he's just got the ball tucked and he throws a knee, then yeah, sure. But when it's clear he's going up to try and dunk the basketball?
Yeah.
And he's getting a whistle for it? And again, this is not isolated to last night. I've seen this called, this is the rule in the league, and I think the rule is stupid. This other rule I think is stupid, just while we're here, is the rip through being a foul. Yeah. Defender's got arm out, and offensive player just generates a little contact by doing a move he would never do.
It's called the Chris Paul.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is infuriating.
Yeah.
And I know, yeah. Hand here, and then just like, oh, I'm just going to do this. Now, if player goes up into their regular shooting motion and hand is out and gets their wrist, then yes. But when hand is over here and offensive player has to pull the ball all the way to the side and do what the rip through move and generate contact and also generate a foul, also stupid. Just while we're here.
No, I'm with you. I mean, it's such an unnatural move.
I don't get it. I don't get why you reward that. I'm glad they took out the... a bunch of players do this. I don't even want to isolate it to one guy. Dwayne Wade, I guess. The pump fake and then the lean in to the contact.
Oh, yeah.
And then fall away and hit the... Okay. I'm so happy they took that out because that's not like the natural shooting motion.
Well, it's the same with the Trae Young, like step in front of you and stop move.
Yes.
The stop short move.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's that to me is the Steph Curry move. I attribute that one to Steph.
Yeah.
Get the defender on your hip and then stop and then shoot it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Man. I mean, Trae kind of mastered it too. Yeah. So, yeah, I just, you know, I wonder if Chris Paul ever looks at himself and goes, man, do I look like
Alfonso, I promise he doesn't.
Ribeiro, you know, the doing the...
Oh, dude. One of my favorite life memories is at the American Century Championship.
Okay.
In Tahoe at, I forget which, because the hotels have changed names. I think it was at Harvey's?
Okay.
Harris.
It's usually, everyone usually goes to Harris party.
Okay. So it was at Harris then. And I'm having a great time, couple drinks in, moseying around the casino, and there's a stage there. And I look up and it is David Justice, Charles Barkley, and Alfonso Ribeiro singing Hypnotized by Biggie.
Oh.
Thought I was hallucinating.
Okay.
And then I literally bumped into Joe Theismann. Just a fever dream of a night, dude.
I actually sat for dinner in the restaurant at the top of Harris, and to my back was Joe Theismann.
He's just around.
Yeah. And I think he was wearing like a black turtleneck tucked in very, very firmly to a pair of Levi's with belt.
With a sport coat?
No, he didn't even have that. And it was even sort of the flared top jeans. He looked like he was in a 1985 Jordache commercial.
I love that for him.
Anywhere near 1985.
I love that for Joe. Good for him.
Yeah.
I hope he's doing well. Shout out to Joe Theismann. All right, we've got a bunch of other stuff to get to. Let's dive in further to the Kings-Sixers game, and then we'll get to some of the NFL rule changes, some 49ers injury news. And we have to talk about the sports betting stuff, because not only did the Shohei Ohtani news drop, but we have a major scandal now featuring Raptors forward Jonte Porter and his props and some irregularities there that we need to get into. So tons of stuff to pack into the next couple of hours. Don't go anywhere. We're on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Did it again, James. We're going to have to let Andre Nicotina ride here for a second. Hang on. There we go.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, he's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. And they're the Sacramento Kings. Big winners last night against the Philadelphia 76ers. 108-96, the final there. Sacramento jumps up to the number 6 seed in the Western Conference, tied with the Dallas Mavericks. They currently hold the tiebreaker over the Dallas Mavericks, which makes tonight's game and Friday's game, both of them against Dallas, big ones. Before we get to that, though, let's recap last night's game and get James Hamm's 6 points.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Really well.
Kings insider James Hamm has 6 notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts.
6 quick thoughts brought to you by you. If you'd like to sponsor the segment, reach out.
That's right.
I'd love to do a little read up top and at the back for you, a little donut.
That's what that's called?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because it circles around.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. Very good. James Hamm, your first quick thought.
History made. Domantas Sabonis notched his 54th consecutive double-double, surpassing Kevin Love's record of 53. It's the longest streak in the NBA since the merger in 1976-77. He had a quiet night, 11 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, but he also posted his league-leading 25th triple-double. He's good, Kyle.
Pretty good player.
I'm a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty solid.
I don't really have anything to add. I don't know what else to say at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. He got hit in the head so many times last night.
As per usual.
And there was even a point where he said this late last night. Hey, you know, my teammates are like, man, get up. He's like, yeah, hang on a sec. I'm a little dizzy. He's like, he got hit late in the game hard again.
Yeah.
I don't think, I mean, he even had like, he didn't have to have stitches last night, but he did have to have like a, like his face taped up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a, this is another, I don't want to get into an officiating thing again, but this is another complaint I have about NBA officiating.
Yeah.
Where they call things based on, if he had a, what's the word I'm looking for? A more refined or skilled offensive game. Mm-hmm. Where he was like dribbling in and then did like a Euro step around somebody with the like crafty finish and got hit, he would get calls. But because he's just bulling a china shop going down and banging into people, they're just not going to whistle it. They're just like, oh, hey, we're going to let everything happen down there, even a murder, even an attempted murder. It's just not, we're just not going to call anything.
I think
it's a weird double standard.
I think he should go full John Olerud and just wear a helmet. Just wear a helmet the whole time.
I wouldn't be opposed.
No.
Just full hockey mask, everything.
Yeah, just like, you know, you want to hit me, that's fine. Maybe put some spikes on it. Like, don't hit me.
I think what he needs to do is wear a helmet that has like splatter packets on it. So when he gets hit, it's like really clear, like, dude, like, see?
Or like the heat.
See?
The heat sense. So like you can see like a big red streak. Oh, see?
Yeah.
I got hit.
I like the splatter pack though, because like Tobias Harris whacks him across the head. Now Tobias Harris got blue paint all over his hands.
That's right.
But yeah, hey, he did it.
That's right.
Caught him blue-handed.
That's right.
Number two.
The real Keegan stood up, at least for part of the game. Man, he was good in the first quarter. 17 of his 23 points in the first 12 minutes. 9 of 20 from the field. Three balls. Man, just come out aggressive. That's who you have to be, man. Just at what point is he going to get it and just be that player? And it feels like it's happening right now, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I said at halftime, I was like, okay, 12 field goal attempts and a half is what I've been asking for from Keegan.
Mm-hmm.
Not 12 specifically, but that kind of aggressiveness. Hunting his shot early, confidently taking the three. He just needs to keep doing that even when the shot isn't falling.
Yes.
So in the second half, so he goes 7 of 12 in the first half.
He was 6 of
19 8. 19 points.
6 of 8 to start the game.
Yeah.
Because I wrote it down, and then he finished 8 of 20.
Yeah.
I'm okay, so
goes,
though.
Yeah, 9 of 20.
9.
So
okay.
3 for 12 the rest of the way. But I love that he finished with 20 field goal attempts. I'm not going to complain too much of 12 in the first half, 8 in the second half.
Yep.
I overall like the aggressiveness, and that to me feels like growth. That to me feels like a tangible step forward. I just need to now see that night in and night out. Good for Keegan.
I absolutely agree.
Number 3.
Steph's a stat sheet. Fox didn't have a huge night, but still managed 23 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block.
Yeah. Filled the stat sheet.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he's just, I feel like I've said this 15 times this year. The evolution of a star player is where, okay, he didn't have his best scoring night, but he's still an impactful player on the court. And I think you see that from De'Aaron pretty much night in and night out.
Yeah, and I also think the evolution of a star player is to be able to, like, it's one thing to average 25 a game for 82.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole nother thing to come back the next year and figure out how to be consistent and do that same exact thing, but at a higher level.
Yep.
And increase your defensive intensity.
Mm-hmm.
He's now averaging exactly 2 steals per game. He's second in the NBA at 2 steals per game.
Yep.
And I think he has 5 or 6 consecutive multi-steal games.
Yeah, and the thing that's impressive about that, it's not steals like he just happened to be in the passing lanes. Like,
oh, no.
He's a better defender than Steph Curry is or was or whatever. But Steph would always have all these steals because he'd just play passing lanes. De'Aaron just picks pockets.
Oh yeah,
and that is really, really hard to do in the NBA. He's when he ratchets it up defensively, he is an excellent, excellent two-way player.
Yeah,
number 4,
shifted the game. Davion Mitchell came in and just I thought he was brilliant. I thought he was brilliant on both ends of the court.
Yep,
the way that he shut down Tyrese Maxey was spectacular. The way that he posted 18 points on 6 of 9 shooting. He was aggressive. He looked for a shot. He still has that crazy arc in his shot, which, you know, Rico Hines was in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Rico's who worked with that shot with him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why, but, like the free throws, I mean, the free throw almost at the bottom of this scoreboard, like, what is happening? but he hit it. That's all that matters. But it's like,
it went down.
Like,
yeah, it goes down.
Whoa, what is happening?
Love to see it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, man. If Davion Mitchell's knocking down shots, the Kings are really hard to beat. Like, they have all these kind of X factors of, hey, when this guy's hitting, they are just on a different level, and Davion's one of them. Number 5.
Bounce back game. Malik Monk wasn't great.
No.
But he wasn't 0 for 11 like he was the previous game. He scored 11 points, grabbed 4 rebounds, dished out 4 assists. It was solid, Kyle. It wasn't great, but sometimes you're going to have lulls, and he needs to pull out of those lulls much quicker than he has in the past.
Yeah, definitely. 4 for his last 22 from the field isn't going to get it done. But like you said, it's better than 3 points on 1 of 8. He's continuing to be aggressive, continuing to play make, continuing to distribute. I have no real concerns about Malik Monk moving forward.
No, I don't either. And he's hilarious in the locker room.
That's great. Go check out James_HamNBA. Check out the video from last night. I can't play it on the radio.
No, he was not happy because JaVale McGee decided to come in the locker room and talk loudly.
Yeah. NSFW video, by the way. Last one, quickly.
The other center, Alex Len, did the dirty work, man. 7 points, 3-3 shooting, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks. He altered so many shots. I thought Alex Len was spectacular.
Yeah, it was almost weirdly good. There were a couple of defensive plays he made where I'm looking at him like, who is this?
Yes.
What the? If he can give you 10 good minutes a night in a playoff series.
That's all you need.
It's a little bit, like I said, just a couple game changers on this Kings bench. And Alex Len and Davion Mitchell were both really, really good last night. All right, I need to talk about sports betting, and we need to talk about these Mavs-Kings games coming up. We've got a big one tonight. Kings Mavericks at Golden 1 Center, and we'll talk about all this sports betting stuff as well. Tons to get into. Hour and a half left on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get into it. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. The Sacramento Kings at home tonight against the Dallas Mavericks, who they are tied with in the Western Conference standings. Dallas, the number 7 seed. The Kings, the number 8 seed. And, man, you know, I hate these conversations because big game or important game kind of varies depending on who you ask. I'm sure there are people who will tell you that the biggest regular season game in Golden One history was the one against the Timberwolves last year, where they could have clinched a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. They ended up losing that game, but that was like a huge game, a ton of anticipation, this and that. These two games to me feel like the biggest spot the Kings have been in at home in a regular season game ever, or at least since Golden One opened.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think the night that the NBA shut down was probably going to be the biggest night, the biggest individual, like, single-season game ever, when they were facing the Pelicans and they were trying to track down Memphis. And there's 18 games left in the season, but it was like this pivotal moment between two teams that were kind of on the same path.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pandemic hit that night, and, you know, again, one of the officials ends up testing positive, all that stuff.
That was crazy.
It was one of the craziest nights of all time. But this one is up there, man. It is, because what you have the opportunity right now, and whether you win both or you split, that's what you have to do here. You have a 2-0 lead on them in the season series on Dallas. Yep. You're tied right now in the standings, 100% tied. You need the tiebreaker. It would be great if you could win both.
Mm-hmm.
You've played really well against them. What have they won, like 7 out of 8 against Dallas? Whether Luka plays or not, they're usually, it doesn't really matter for this team. But this is a big one, because
huge.
If you can get that little bit of separation, but score that 3-0 on the season series, it means that they've got to leapfrog you completely
yes.
in the standings.
Yes.
And You know, like, this is big.
Yeah, man. These are ostensibly, to me, playoff games. Because if you're losing both of these, you're in a really, really tough spot moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you even split where you have that season series, that's just a little bit of cushion. And I think the Kings are playing well enough right now that you can be pretty confident that if they split this series, you're going, okay, they're in a really good spot moving forward.
Yes.
The loss to the Wizards aside, it feels like Sacramento right now is playing its best basketball of the year. Did they have that weird slip up in Washington? Yes. But they kicked the hell out of the Raptors. They had a gritty win against a good Mavericks team in Orlando, where they had to get what was it, four stops in the final 21 seconds.
Yep.
They put together a really tough win in Orlando, and then they kicked the heck out of the Sixers last night. A shorthanded, not very good Sixers team just dominated, just start to finish, game never in question. And that to me is, hey, this is a good sign. This team's trending the right way. And this goes back to even the game against the Knicks, which they lost, but they played pretty well. They dominate the Lakers and the Bucks. Like, this is now going on 2 weeks of just really high quality play from the Kings. And that to me says, if you split these two games, get the win tonight and render Friday much less important.
Yep.
Still important. But if you get that season series where you hold that tiebreaker, I think it's really, really tough for Dallas to then pass you in the standings.
Well, I think that's the big point too, right? Dallas, you're competing with Dallas, and it's not just for like the six or the seven seed.
Mm-hmm.
The five seed is fully in play at this
Absolutely,
point.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, the Phoenix Suns have the most ridiculous schedule in the history of schedules to mm-hmm. finish out the season.
Mm-hmm.
Their strength of schedule against, after last night's game, is 647. I don't even know that there are that many teams in the league with a 647 win percentage.
There are five teams, and they are the Timberwolves, Thunder, Nuggets, Bucks, and Celtics.
Okay, and they play the Nuggets, the Thunder, the Timberwolves twice, the Clippers twice, the Pelicans twice, and the Cavs. Their easiest opponent is no one.
Their easiest opponent is the Cavs with a 6-11 winning percentage.
That's their easiest opponent left. So what we're talking about here,
that is crazy,
is that you're looking at the five and the six, and mm-hmm. you're trying to fight to move up the whole time, and man, the Clippers are tumbling. So it's possible that like all of these spots are wide open and up for grabs, but that means nothing if you don't take a team like Dallas serious and you don't go in and beat them. And we joke around about it all the time. I could easily see the Kings winning both of these games against Dallas and then not showing up on Sunday and losing to a bad Jazz team.
Dude, 1,000%.
I could totally see it. And everyone would be like, oh, typical Kings.
If I told you that the Kings won 2 against Dallas and then lost to Utah, the Clippers, and the Knicks the next 3.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other reason these two games are so important, is you have 2 games against Dallas. You need to win one.
Yep.
And then you need to beat Utah, because then you've got the Clippers who are fighting for their lives. And that may be a game that we're talking about as, hey, this is a huge home game because now you can pass the Clippers. I've got a guy, Tommy Azerly, who covers the Clippers. I follow him on the internet. Said, not to pile on, this is after the Clippers lost last night. Not to pile on, but this, given the schedule, we might actually be looking at play-in scenarios very soon. That's where the Clippers are at.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to be fighting for their lives. And then you've got at Knicks, at Celtics, at Nets, at Thunder, home Pelicans, home Suns.
It's wild.
These are just vital, vital games to get.
Yes. Okay, starting lineup tonight for Please. The Dallas Mavericks. We don't have injury reports yet. We'll get to that later. But starting lineups, Kyrie Irving at the point guard position. We got Luka Doncic. We've got PJ Washington. Derek Jones Jr., a high flyer. The Kings have been, you know, tied to many times.
Yeah.
And Daniel Gafford, who they acquired at the deadline from the Wizards. This team has some decent depth on the bench as of right mm-hmm. now. Tim Hardaway, Derek Lively, a rookie who's played really well, and Dante Exum somehow has been like pulled off the scrap heap and has played extremely well
been
for them.
Really good.
Yeah, really impactful. Kleber, they always struggle with him.
Maxi Kleber, dude. When I was watching a Mavs game a while back and I heard the broadcaster say, Exum, like, I can't beat Dante Exum. Like, no chance.
No.
Quick Google. Oh my God, it's Dante Exum. He's in the league and producing and playing well.
It's crazy.
Him and who's the Chris Dunn?
Oh, yeah.
Two guys I thought were just done.
Okay.
No pun intended.
How old do you think Dante Exum is?
Dante Exum. See, this is where the between 2013 and 2018 are all the same to me. Dante Exum's got to be like 28.
He is exactly 28.
Oh, come on.
28 and 257 days. But I would have thought he was older than that.
But Chris Dunn's like 31, right?
No.
He's not?
I don't think so. I think Chris Dunn is 29.
Providence legend?
Yeah.
He's
a 2017 draft. He's
30. Chris Dunn just turned 30.
You're right. Okay. You're right.
All right. Huh?
Okay.
If we had this conversation 10 days ago, he'd have been 29. So, yeah. No, I the Mavs are a team that I didn't have a ton of belief in, but they've won 7 of their last 8. They've won 3 consecutive games. Their only loss was a tough game at Oklahoma City that they lost by 7. They have a win over Denver in there on that ridiculous Kyrie Irving kind of running.
Oh, left-handed hook shot over Jokic.
Just ridiculous.
That's right.
But you start compiling all those names and you look and you go, man, like this should be a really, really tough team. And they're starting to play a little bit better. And while the Mavs didn't scare me 2 weeks ago, now they'd scare me a little bit.
They've had this season where they do this, right? So, you know, it wasn't that long ago. They had a 7-game winning streak. Then they lost 2, won 1, and lost 3.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, what you talked about, they won 4, they lost 1, they won 4. They're kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team like the Kings are. And every time you think that they figured it out, they take a step backwards. But I also feel like they're sort of ramping up for the playoffs. And they have the same idea that the Kings do, that you want to avoid the play-in tournament, number mm-hmm. one. But number two, that 6-7 sure does look enticing when you're looking at Oklahoma City or potentially the Timberwolves mm-hmm. being the 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a pathway not only in the first round but in the second round as well.
Yeah.
If you're avoiding sort of those big boys at the 4-5 and the 1, you mm-hmm. know, which we all expect to be Denver.
Yeah.
Although Denver may not hold on, you never know. But yeah, this is a good team, and you got to go in there and figure them out because it's not easy.
I think Denver's going to wind up winning the West. I know this isn't really important right now, but I think Denver's going to wind up winning the West by like 4 games.
Hmm.
They feel like they're locking in in a way that Oklahoma City and Minnesota just can't yet. So I think Denver's going to kind of wind up running away with it. But
that'd be wild.
Matchup of the game, I'm going De'Aaron Fox v. Luka Doncic. And not because I think they're going to like guard each other a ton or anything like that. I just think this is 2 superstar point guards, all NBA type point guards, MVP caliber point guards that I like seeing guys like that go head to head. Whether they're guarding each other or not doesn't really matter to me. I could just envision a stretch in this game where it's Fox in the paint, tough layup, Luka doing the same thing on the other end, and these guys combined for like 15 points in a 6 possession stretch.
I could see that.
Yeah,
I definitely could see that. My matchup of the game, I'm going to go Fox on Kyrie.
Oh, yeah.
I just that's like
same reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Although Fox might guard Kyrie quite a bit tonight.
No, it's very possible.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be fun to watch. Real quick before we hit our break, I'm not saying that the Kings shouldn't have drafted Luka Doncic, but I'm so happy we don't have to watch him every game.
Amen.
Excellent player. Going to win an MVP someday. Maybe multiple. Incredible, incredible basketball player. Not taking anything away from him. One of the 3 best players in the league. But 3-5, whatever. I cannot stand watching him play.
It's not even his skill set. His skill set is unbelievable. It's when you watch him in person and you see how much he complains to the officials.
Yes.
It is horrific.
Jarring, dude.
Jarring. Especially in a day and age where all of a sudden people aren't getting foul calls. This guy goes 7 of 8 from the free throw line last night in 41 minutes. He played 41 minutes against the Jazz.
You think you know because you watch him on TV.
Yeah.
But the camera cuts away.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in the building either tonight or Friday, if you're at Golden 1 Center, watch Luka.
It is absolutely jarring.
It is unbelievable.
Yes. There are 2 players, He does it nonstop.
Yes.
And then the other one is watching Draymond bark and bark and bark at the officials the entire game.
Yeah.
Like, he's having a good time, but he's yelling at your face like the whole time.
Yes.
And he just knows he's not going to get a tech every single time.
It's all game.
It's just like
foul. He's walking over. He's talking to the official midcourt.
It's wild.
Comes back down, talking to him as he's walking away. It's insane.
Yeah.
All right. We got three big watch parties coming up, sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer. Thursday, March 28th, we've got a Sweet 16 watch party. That's with D'Lo, KC, and Jesse, the producer. Jesse, going to be down there at Bar West, 2724 J Street in Midtown. That is Thursday at 4 o'clock. And then Saturday, it's me and James for an Elite 8 watch party at 3 o'clock at Player Sports Pub and Grill. That's at 4060 Sunrise Boulevard in Fair Oaks. And then Monday, for the national championship game, April 8th, there will be a watch party with D'Lo, KC, James, and Jesse at Tom's Watch Bar, Sacramento. That is in Doco, right across from Golden 1 Center. And again, that is sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer. Ton of hoops happening on ESPN 1320. Anyways, the Luka thing, man, just...
Yeah,
he is, when they played Golden State, so when I was working at 95.7, the Warriors Western Conference Finals in 2022 was against Dallas, and we had a whole discussion. All the producers were like, "Man, hey, we're gonna, because at 95.7, it's not just two people on a show; it's like multiple people. It's great." And
that happens. I'm new to this,
right? So typically
I didn't
it's
know.
You and me and then somebody running a board in there and then a producer in our ears telling us to do reads, telling us to stay on track with things. It's great.
Oh, okay.
Instead it's you
so
and me.
That's why we don't stay on track.
Correct.
Damn it.
We don't have somebody like, hey, get,
if and only what, I knew.
Yeah, we miss reads. It's because there's not somebody going read farmer's dog talk line, gotta hit the farmer's dog talk line. I spent so much time doing that. Anyways, we were all so excited because we're like, hey, man, this Mavs team's playing well. Because that was the year they kicked the hell out of Phoenix.
Yep.
Like, hey, this Mavs team is playing really well. This is going to be a super fun series. You get to go watch Luka in person. Man, I can't wait. And then halfway through game one, it was like, oh, my God. Get this guy out of the building. It's just brutal.
So someone mentioned like Devin Booker. Like Devin Booker complains about every call, like what he thinks he gets fouled every time. He really does. Like,
yes,
the entitlement of Devin Booker is like, it's so obscene. You're watching, you're like, oh dude, he just like feels like he's entitled to every single call.
It's kind of his face, I think.
But then he stops and he goes and he plays basketball.
Mm-hmm.
No, Luka literally dribbles down the court like complaining to the official, and he's looking at the other official. You hear me complaining to this guy? I'm complaining to you as well.
Yes.
Like the whole game, you're in the building, it's a totally different perspective because you can't keep your eye off. You're like, dude, I can't. He's still talking. He's still complaining. He still looks like he's about to cry. I don't know what's happening. I think he did just cry. Did he just cry? He's still talking.
No problem. No problem with crying. Let it out. I'm here for
it. There's no crying in basketball, Kyle.
Bro. The Kings are going to get an easy bucket tonight because they're playing 5-on-4.
Oh, of course.
1,000%, that's going to happen.
They almost always get an extra point playing against him because he gets a tech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to happen tonight. But, like, book that and mark it down and then jump into the chatty house tomorrow and be like, yeah, that Harrison Barnes layup halfway through the second quarter, yeah, it's 5-on-4 because Luka was half-assing it down the court, yapping at the ref.
I think tonight we're going to walk out of this game and it's a big game, right? Is this a TNT game tonight? I think it is.
Yes.
You're going to walk out of this game tonight and the buzz is going to be, oh man, this would be a great first or second round matchup.
Yeah, 7 games of this, please. I'm going to tweet that at some point.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah.
Just mark it down now.
I'm going to schedule it for, let's see, about 9:06.
Okay.
9:06 p.m. In fact, I'm going to do that at the break and then we'll just see. We'll see
what
it
happens.
Takes us. I might have to delete it quick, though, if the game gets away from Sacramento. delete that real fast.
That's funny.
I'm going to do the game with you. We'll push off the gambling stuff to the next segment. I want to play a game with you right now.
Uh-oh.
No, it's fine. It's a fun game. It's the game where I name 5 things that happened last night, and you have to rank them.
Okay, I'm in.
But you're not going to know what the things are.
Okay, let's see.
Help me. Okay, here we go. Domantas Sabonis. And again, one is the most important thing. Five is the least important thing. You're not going to know what things are coming. So you have to rank them based on what you think they are and what might or might not be coming. All right. First one, Domantas Sabonis records his 54th consecutive double-double.
I'm going to say one.
That is the most important thing that happened last night?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
Because this isn't an achievement for the team. It's something that, like, I think that, like, at the end of the day, everyone in this group wants Domantas Sabonis to be an all-star, wants him to be all-NBA, wants him to be a Hall of Fame player. And this is, it's not just something for himself. This is about a team that's got a player, but that they support that player the right way. And he's become something special. And so I think this means a lot for the franchise. It means a lot for a player. And also to see his emotion in the moment, mm-hmm. to see him like pound his chest. And, you know, like he sent a message to his wife and his kids that were in the crowd. Like the whole thing to me was pretty special, because Domas isn't someone who looks for this type of acclaim, but mm-hmm. he was so willing to accept it last night, which to me was really cool.
Okay, very good. That is number one for you.
You're going to go five?
I don't know if I'd go five. I see, the problem for me is I know what's coming. We'll continue discussing. 40 bench points for the Kings last night. They had 40 points off the bench, 18 for Davion Mitchell, 11 for Malik Monk.
I'm going to say four.
Okay. Yeah, it feels to me, if you're getting 40 points from your bench, I don't care who it's from, you're putting yourself in a really, really good spot to win.
Yeah. Well, I expect this bench to score 40 points when Trey Lyles, Sasha, right. everyone's back.
Yeah.
You know, even like if Kevin Huerter somehow miraculously recovers mm-hmm. and comes back and they have him coming up, I could see like this, like on a regular basis, scoring 40.
Yeah.
The anomaly of last game where they scored seven, the reason why I put it as low is because they scored seven and they still won.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, bench matters, but mm-hmm. also this team has really, really good offensive players in the starting lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. And that's kind of my point is like, man, if you're getting 23 from De'Aaron and 20 plus from Keegan and you're getting 15 to 20 night in and night out from Domas, you're getting 40 points from this version of your bench.
Mm.
Mm. It's a pretty good team. Davion Mitchell goes 3 for 4 from beyond the arc.
I'm going to say
you've used 1 and 4 so far. So
I'm
going to
say
3, 2, and 5.
I'm going to say 3 because yeah. I think he does add an element. And if he can jump back in the fray, you know, especially because I just mentioned it, Kevin Huerter coming back. I don't think Kevin Huerter is coming back this season. I don't know for sure, but like there's a good chance he's not.
Yeah.
And so if I'm going to, like, you need Davion Mitchell. Like,
big
you
time.
Do. You
big
need
time.
Him. You know, you need Davion. You need Chris Duarte to be consistent. Mm-hmm. You need these things to happen. And for him to hit a couple of threes is big because he brings that defensive element, especially against smaller guards, especially yeah. against Kyrie Irving tonight. And on Friday, you're going to need Davion.
Yeah.
It's big.
Yeah. You're going to. And I'm viewing everything through the lens of what a playoff series looks like right
okay.
now. And when Davion's going to knock down, like, you don't need him to score 18 tonight.
Nope.
Just when he's open in the corner, you need somebody to close out hard on it.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for, and it can't be 4-on-5 on offense because Davion's standing over there, and I think what he's doing offensively right now, the way he's playing over the last month, makes him a credible play in a playoff series, which is a pretty big deal.
Yep.
The Kings shot 22 of 28 from the free throw line last night.
Hmm. That's a big deal.
I agree.
Is this my next one?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's five, though, because okay. I think I know what's coming next. And so I'm going to say the free throw shooting, it's a big deal, but it's also something that's quietly been happening over the last couple of weeks that we haven't been paying attention to or we haven't been calling out.
Because, I have some numbers for you.
Because nobody cares about free throw shooting typically unless you're the worst.
I have some numbers for you.
Okay, I'm listening.
Since March 4th, the last 12 games, they're shooting 84% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
That is a much better number than standby, The previous 59 games, 72.7%.
Yeah.
That is 72.7 from the free throw line. It's really bad.
It's funny.
84 is much better.
They're still the worst free throw shooting team in the league.
God.
At 74.5%. Still the worst. But you can see the improvement. And, you know, again, look at what Mike Brown said. We got to get better defending the three. We got to get to the free throw line more and make more free throws. Mm-hmm. They're not getting to the free throw line more on a consistent basis because the fouls have been, the whistles have been swallowed in the second half.
This is an odd thing for sure.
But they're hitting them, Kyle.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Number two is Keegan Murray scoring 17 points in the first quarter and 23 for the game. Is that what it was?
No. It is Keegan Murray.
Okay.
But it's that Keegan Murray led the team in field goal attempts.
Oh, yeah. It's big.
With 20.
Yeah.
So that's your number two.
Yep.
And I think I'm pretty comfortable with this list by you.
Okay.
Depending on where you land on the Domas thing. So Domas is 54th consecutive double-double NBA post-merger record. You know what? It's the NBA record. I hate this pre-merger, post-merger thing. We don't do that in the NFL.
Okay.
We'll do since the merger sometimes. But a guy throwing for 6,000 passing yards someday, it's just going to be the NFL record.
Mm.
It's going to be like, well, since a merger. Like,
well, yeah, but I mean, Wilt had like 277.
Okay, you're right. You're right. That's a bad example. And I know that was in the NBA, but it was, I don't know. I just think it's
NBA,
a weird thing.
But the NBA was like eight teams.
Right. It's the NBA record. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore.
Okay.
Domas. That was one. Keegan Murray leading the team in field goal attempts at 20. That was number two for you. Davion Mitchell going 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. That was number three for you. 40 bench points, including those 18 from Davion, was number four. And you had the 22 of 28 on free throws as number five. I think the only thing I might switch is the bench and the free throws.
Okay.
The fact that they're regularly knocking down free throws at the clip that they are, I know it didn't matter as much last night because they were dog walking Philly.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that that's a pretty significant development, is that they're shooting 84% over the last 12 games.
Yeah.
Good for them. All right. That's a fun game. I like playing that one. We'll take a look around the NBA, and we have to talk about gambling. Reese Davis said something nuts over the weekend that we'll throw into this conversation as well, but we'll get into the Jonte Porter deal. And is sports betting going to lead to the death of sports?
Mm.
We'll do a big picture look next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.